few weeks ago, I was at Mike Sherman's in men's evening, and some of us shared some testimony, and I guess I made the mistake of writing mine down, because now here I am. I was born in Providence, Rhode Island in 1943, and at that time we lived in the Gaspe Plateau section of Warwick till I was 7 years old. And my dad had a small machine shop there in what had formerly been a two-car garage behind our house. And behind that was another shed roof under which he had a small sawmill. And I tell people I must have gotten sawdust in my blood from playing in it. And there also must have been some sort of a dairy farm behind us. I remember seeing something out there. I don't know if it was a cow or a beef or what, but some kind of four-legged animal. And I got in trouble for scooping manure with a wood shingle and slinging it onto my neighbor's garage. And looking back now, I wonder if my manure slinging was why we moved to a very rural area of Scituate, Rhode Island, in 1950, where Dad had over 100 acres of land. And at that time, we attended the Episcopal Church in North Scituate, Rhode Island. And I became an acolyte. I remember moving the Bible from one side of the altar to the other and additional minor duties. Now, Dad had moved the sawmill and machine shop to Scituate, and at age 10, I was helping Dad as the tail sawyer on the sawmill. That meant I got to take away the slabs and pile the lumber he sawed. Dad was working full-time in a machine shop that specialized in gunsmithing, so the sawmill was just a side interest of his. But one thing that I've never forgotten was some of the word associations in my mind from where Dad worked. And it was a place called Johnson Automatics Associates, and they were located on the shores of Moscow Pond in a place called Hope Valley, Rhode Island. Guns, Moscow, and Hope. Someone here, perhaps Bruce Johnson, knows that Johnson Automatics submitted a prototype gun to the U.S. Army as one of several candidates to replace the 03 Springfield. However, the M1 Garand, developed by a Canadian working at the Springfield Armory in Massachusetts, was the winner. I attended the University of New Hampshire and earned a Bachelor of Science degree in forestry in 1964. While in New Hampshire, I met my future wife, Nancy. We married in August of 1968, and a month later, I shipped out for Vietnam as a member of the 107th Signal Company, Rhode Island Army National Guard. Upon returning from Vietnam in 1969, we moved in with my folks in Scituate for a few months while we looked for a house halfway between Providence and Hartford, Connecticut. You see, I had started a logging business after college and wanted to be as far into the woods of southern New England as we could be. So we bought a house and 35 acres in Pomfret, where I am to this day. Of course, the logging business quickly turned into the sawmill business, and we built our first sawmill in the apple orchard behind our house in Pomfret. We joined the Congregational Church on Route 169 across from the Pomfret School, and over time, both became quite active in that church. When I was 29, our first child, Samuel, was born in 1972. And that's when it hit me. The Lord gave up his only begotten son to a cruel death on the cross for the sins of mankind. I asked myself if I could give up my son to die for the sins of another. The answer was a definite no. My great love for our firstborn son made me realize, for the first time really, the magnitude of what God did out of love for all of us. Nancy and I had two more children for a total of three. And Nancy, who was a registered nurse, died in 2001 of cancer of the appendix. At that time, despite two children being married, we had no grandchildren, something Nancy always wanted to see. I married Charlotte in 2005. Charlotte had been divorced since 91 and had been unable to ever have children. Now, rather quickly it seems, we had 8 grandchildren, and Charlotte has gotten to enjoy the pleasures of motherhood one generation removed, and has had a ball doing it. The Lord has truly blessed my family, and this makes me think of my favorite psalm, Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Well, if you want to meet a wise man, you just met one. I told you I'd give you 3 pieces of advice from the Proverbs this morning, and the first was to build a good heart. The second one, as a follower of Jesus, is to find a good teacher. Now, I'm reading now from chapter 8 in Proverbs, if you want to turn there, and this is where the woman called Wisdom is holding forth. She's speaking, starting at verse 22 and 23. The Lord brought me forth the first of his way before his works of old. From eternity I was appointed, from the beginning, before the world began. And so wisdom was there. This was what God created before he made anything material or physical. He made the truth of it. So can you trust God's wisdom? Chapter 12, Proverbs, first verse. Whoever loves knowledge loves correction. Oh, I don't know. That hurts. Grades in school. Whoever loves knowledge loves correction, but whoever hates reproof is stupid. Oh, man. Reproof and correction are difficult things to take in. They hurt our feelings, but they improve our understanding and our knowledge. And when we gain in knowledge and understanding, and when I say understanding, I'm saying as a follower of Jesus, when we get something in our heart and we begin to live it out, then our feelings go along with that. We feel better. So we have to give up some feelings at the time and move on. Down in the 15th verse, I think in chapter 12, a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but the wise listen to advice. Verse 16, a fool shows his irritation immediately, but a prudent person overlooks an insult. Chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men is wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. My feelings tell me to hang out with people who'll think I'm smart. But the scripture says to spend time with people that are smarter than me. To spend time with people who will tell me things that I may not want to hear, but I really need to hear. And that is something that God gives us, is the ability to do that, to move out. It's always easy. Misery, they say, loves company. And boy, does it. There's always someone who will help you stay back with the gang. And we'll just be knuckleheads and we'll just have fun. But God says, move up. Find people who are where you need to be. Had an executive officer, a colonel in the Air Force years ago, and I remember this briefing. We were in his office describing this mission we were getting ready to do, and we had a new pilot with us, and he just addressed this new pilot, and he pointed to this pilot who had been around for a while, and he says, you follow him and do whatever he does, because you can live off of what falls out of his back pockets. That was a very high compliment to this other pilot, but it's also about learning wisdom from those who are further down the road than you. Be part of this congregation. There's a lot of wisdom here in this place. And be careful of teachers who tell you that anyone who disagrees with them is not of the Lord, doesn't know the Lord. Be careful of teachers who know everything. Wisdom means knowing that God has created more than I can take in, and trusting God with all that knowledge I don't have. That was the first sin, the knowledge of good and evil. God was asking Adam and Eve to trust him with what they didn't know. Trust me, you're going to like this better. And they just couldn't stand it. We say here, be disciples and make disciples. Learn from others, get a good teacher, and then be a good teacher as well. If you need a teacher, come see me. I know some good ones around here. Finally, this last piece of wisdom, get a good book as a follower of Jesus. I recommend one to you in particular, the Bible. There is a wisdom in this book that is quite different from the wisdom of the cosmos, that is the world we live in. You know this. The cosmos says, be nice and spare everyone's feelings. The Bible says, let me read to you from chapter 17 in Proverbs, verse 10. A rebuke, which is hard to take, a rebuke makes a greater impression on a discerning person than 100 lashes makes on a fool. A word to the wise is sufficient, we say. That's a proverb. If you're listening, if you're learning, it doesn't take much to get your attention. If you're a fool and you just want what you want, there's nothing in the world that will dissuade you from your foolishness. Dreaming big is very big in our day. I believe in that. Do all that you can do, says the Army. Aim high, says the Air Force. I believe that. That's good. But dreaming big should come from understanding what is right in front of you. In school these days, it's often said we don't really spend time learning rote facts and things when we're youngsters. We want them to get the general idea. We want them to be able to connect the dots. It's hard to connect the dots if you don't know what the dots are. It's worthwhile at a certain point in your development to spend some time learning some things by rote, learning some basic things. Verse 24, I think we're still in chapter 17. I'll check. Yes, 17:24. Wisdom is before the person of understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. If you're spending all your time feeling weepy about the ads at the end of a magazine and all the people you should help and could help, not that those are bad things. The Bible says, understand who you are, where you live, and the people around you. Understand this book so well that you understand what you can do and what you can't do. Get wisdom. Don't have your eyes just on the horizon all the time. Even though I believe in in aiming high. I believe in going to a school where I'll never be as smart as the people who are teaching me. Do all that you can do, and you'll be in a higher place than you were before. This book is a nexus place. This is the place where the Word and the Spirit meet. The Holy Spirit takes this Word and translates it to me and to you. This is the beginning of wisdom. And so I want to just end quickly with three scripture passages. One from Isaiah chapter 8. He says, when men tell you, 8:19, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists, and you could fill in their trainers and counselors of various and sorts and kinds. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living, he says to those who were calling up the dead to get their words. No, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light. It's only darkness you're getting. Long time later, Paul writes to his protege Timothy. He says, don't let anyone, this is 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and to preaching and to teaching. And then he tells Timothy in the next letter, when his life is coming to an end, he knows this, but he says, when you come, be sure to bring the coat I left at Carpus at Troas, and also bring my books, especially my papers. He is into this word to the last breath of his life, because this is where wisdom begins. Your relationship with Jesus the Messiah is going to grow, and you're going to grow up into him as you begin to engage God's wisdom. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for what you give us. Thank you that we have wisdom in this world where sin and evil are very much here. And we ask that you would give us the wisdom to just grab the basic central truth that you have come in the flesh and died for our sins and have provided life for us through your death and resurrection. And help us to move on beyond that, to be good dads, to be good moms, to be disciples of yours and to make other disciples, to do all those things you've called us to do, those many roles. And we will thank you for this wisdom. And thank you in the name of the one who makes us wise, Jesus our Messiah. Amen.